You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Today, we're going to be talking about two ballot propositions, the first of which is Prop 23. You might recall that a couple of years ago, there was a ballot measure here in California that had to do with the profits of dialysis clinics. This one, also placed on the ballot by labor unions, which are in an ongoing conflict with dialysis clinics, calls for a physician to be on premises where dialysis provided. With us to talk about the differences between the two measures and who the players are here is healthcare reporter for CAP Radio, Sammy Kaola. Sammy, thank you for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So compare and contrast the initiative of 2 years ago versus this year's Prop 23. What's different?
They do entirely different things. So Proposition 8 from 2018 would have...
Sammy, I'm sorry we've got a bad connection with you. We'll try and get you back and see if we can get that cleaned up. In the meantime, if you have questions about Proposition 23 that you'd like to ask, you can join us right now on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org, or you can call us at 866-893-KPECC. That's 866-893-5722. I also want to remind you that all 12 of California's ballot propositions will be covered in our every other year voter cram session. We do this every even-numbered year when our California ballot is full of propositions. And this year, we're providing it in a virtual format. So you can watch it on your computer or tablet or even your smartphone Tuesday, October 6th, 6:30 in the evening. I'll be joined by a panel of experts. We'll be going through all of the ballot propositions, all 12, in rapid-fire succession, boom, 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 over a one-hour period of time. And we'd love to have you with us as we rapid-fire go through all 12 of the ballot measures. Again, it's Tuesday evening, October 6th. You can RSVP for the virtual event at kpecc.org/in-person. It's our voter cram session with the California ballot propositions. So we're going to be talking specifically, though, about Proposition 23. And I think, do we have you, Sammy Kaola, with us? All right.
We do. I'm here.
All right. Great. Thank you. Sorry about that technical problem. So please compare and contrast the measure of 2 years ago versus Prop 23.
Right. So Prop 8 from 2018 would have put new regulations on how dialysis companies took in profit and how they could use their money, basically their overhead costs, their admin costs, and their patient costs. And it sort of created buckets for how that money could be spent and how much profit these companies could reap. And it was mainly targeted at two main companies, DaVita and Fresenius. They own most of the 600 dialysis clinics in California. So that proposition was sponsored by the SEIU, it's a major labor union in California, and that failed. And that same labor union is putting forth Prop 23. So this does not deal directly with profits. It doesn't tell dialysis companies, what the cap is for what they can make, but it puts in some new requirements. It would require a physician to be on site for all treatment. It would require these companies to report infection data to both the state and the federal government. They would need to get state approval if they wanted to close any clinics or they wanted to reduce their services in any way. And they would have to treat all patients equally, regardless of how that patient pays for care.
And how does the dispute between labor unions and the large chains of these kidney dialysis clinics, how does that factor into this?
SEIU-UHW, which represents thousands of healthcare workers in California, has tried to have their dialysis workers unionized for several years, and they have hit some resistance. DaVita and Fresenius have put up walls that have not allowed them to unionize. And so people who oppose this measure say that this sounds like it's about patient safety, but it's actually just another iteration of this longstanding battle between the unions and the companies. And that basically what the unions are trying to do is run down the companies through these propositions to get leverage over them and make them spend a bunch of money fighting these propositions to try to gain some power so that they can make the steps to unionize that they have been trying to make for a long time. And we saw in 2018 that opponents of Prop 8, so DaVita, Fresenius, the big companies, they spent $111 million fighting the ballot prop.
Successfully fighting it because it didn't pass, of course.
Yeah, it did not pass. And we're seeing a very similar pattern. So far, there's been over $90 million spent by those companies and other proponents on Prop 23. Proponents of Prop 23.
Sammy, do the proponents of the measure point to safety inadequacies or a lack of oversight at the clinics for which they say having the physicians on premises would make a difference?
Yeah, they do have concerns about safety, that patients aren't being checked on enough while they're getting their treatment. This is, you know, it can be a life-threatening procedure if it's done incorrectly. It involves replacing your blood when your kidneys don't function well. And the unions, they often have patients that speak about bad experiences they've had in the clinics. And so, you know, the unions say that this is a matter of patient safety. But there are already some requirements that these dialysis companies have to follow. So they have to have a doctor visit a patient at least once a month. The doctor that referred the patient for dialysis has to visit them once a month. And clinics have to employ a physician as a medical director, but there aren't requirements right now for when that medical director has to be on site. So this proposition would definitely make more stringent requirements. And then there's also the reporting requirement. People who oppose this measure say clinics are already reporting plenty of data to the state. They're reporting infection rate data and that this industry is already being regulated pretty well. So that's one of the sticking points.
One of the aspects of Prop 23 is that clinics would have to accept all forms of payment. So there couldn't be certain insurers that, you know, wouldn't be contracted with. I was wondering what the effect of, obviously for a patient, if a form of insurance or Medi-Cal was turned down by a dialysis clinic, that'd be a significant negative effect for the patient. But I was wondering what the clinics say about, if they do, their need to be able to not necessarily take all provider insurance?
That's a great question. And, you know, I did not hear a ton from the dialysis companies about that requirement in the prop. I'm not well-versed on how that would affect them financially. The thing they are really worried about is this requirement that a physician be on-site for all treatments. They fear that that is going to be a really costly undertaking. There are some clinics in rural areas that are not owned by those major companies, that are owned by smaller networks, and they are worried that they won't even be able to find a physician to fill in that role, and that if they do that, it's going to be so costly that it might cause them to have to shut down. So people that are opposing this measure, and a lot of nephrologists actually are saying, you don't need a doctor to be on site for every treatment. That is going to be costly, and it may even force some clinics to have to close or to reduce their services, which would be a real access problem for patients, particularly in rural areas. But also, I mean, the Legislative Analyst Office did a report on Prop 23 recently, and their prediction was that most clinics will probably not have to close, that the dialysis companies can, you know, find ways to make it work. They'll be able to hire those doctors and they'll be able to stay open. The big companies are pretty high profit companies. So.
And it sounded like, I'm sorry to interrupt, Sam, it sounded like also the legislative analyst was concluding that the extra cost of having the physician, if they could find a physician, would essentially be borne by the insurers, it sounded like. But there could be additional costs. I wonder if Medi-Cal, because probably a significant percentage of people on dialysis are Medi-Cal patients, if that would increase costs for the state's Medi-Cal system. I wasn't clear from the legislative analyst's point if that might be the case.
Yeah, I didn't see their prediction on that specifically, but I think that's a very fair guess. I do know that a lot of people who require dialysis are Medi-Cal patients, and so that could be a heightened cost to the state.
Sammy, thank you so much. These ballot measures are so complex, and appreciate you sharing your time that you've been pouring over this and reporting on it to talk with our listeners about it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Sammy Caola with us, so reports on healthcare matters for CAP Radio. That's the shortened term for Capital Public Radio, coming out of Sacramento. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we'll talk with a young man who's an advocate for 16-year-olds being given the right to vote. And we'll hear what the reasoning behind that is and take your calls, hear your opinions as well. We'll be back in just 90 seconds here on Air Talk.